Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is living. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. You know, we need to understand. Now, not obviously not this book. This book's not alive. It's a book. It's paper, it's ink, and some sort of a cover on it. When the word comes alive, what happens is you take those words that are printed in that book, you put them in through the eye gate, they go in to the mind, and you begin to meditate on them until they become part of you. Not just the human side, but the spirit side. They become part of you. The Holy Spirit begins to take that word and he causes it to come alive in you. Until the word itself, the word himself, overrides what you know to be in the natural. And see, the world never understands that. The world will not understand the word overriding the natural. What Katie was talking about with Benson Idahosa and with Smith Wigglesworth and with Jesus, the miracles. The world will never understand miracles. That's why they get so caught up in mysticism and all these fortune tellers and these people, you know, dial 1-800, I'll lie to you. Because they get caught up in all that junk. They want to read their horoscopes every day and see what kind of horrors they're going to get into. You know, they'll listen to any lie from the devil before they'll listen to the word of the living God and allow it to come to life in them. Until they see for themselves the miracle action of the word. God will run to perform his word when you begin to act on the word because it's alive and it's powerful. And he will hasten, King James says, he will hasten to perform his word. He will run to perform that word because he wants to prove himself to the world. And the world is, you know, they're oblivious to what really is taking place in the spirit realm. The world doesn't understand. Anybody that operates in the spirit realm, you know, there's some kind of it's not that way at all. We should all be operating in the spirit realm, and believers that aren't operating in the spirit realm are just plain old pew warmers. What the world needs to see are a bunch of believers that understand how alive and powerful the word of the living God really is. You know, she's talking about Benson Idahosa. The man, the day he got saved, some preacher was standing in a tent. I don't know who the preacher was. Standing in a tent, preaching a sermon. Said, you know, born-again Christians can raise the dead. It hit this little boy's ears. They can raise the dead. I want to be born again. This bicycle all over Lagos, Nigeria. Raised him up, said, okay, it works. Now I want to be what this is. 12 years old. It's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it works when you believe. Go over to Isaiah chapter 55. Starting with verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace, and mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Seek the Lord and call upon him. That's the first thing we're instructed to do here. Seek the Lord and call upon him. Last night I posted something in the forum, and I've been reading, and you probably saw in the front of the bulletin this morning, an article by A.W. Tozer. Reverend Tozer was an old-time pastor, preacher, and the man is preaching kind of what I believe. You know, if it's not in the Word, I don't want to hear it. I'm not interested. If it's not the Word of God, it really doesn't count. Well, last night I posted an article on the forum that said, "Pray till you pray." By him. Pray until you pray. Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense until you stop and think about it. Pray until you pray. In other words, pray until you're done. Pray until you finally get someplace. Pray until you finally get into the throne room of God, until you finally understand what it is God has the answer for you. People say, you know, "Oh, Pastor, I prayed and I just didn't hear anything." Then you didn't stay there long enough. I had a man come to me one time. He said, "Pastor, I've had all these problems with my business, with my home, with my family. I have all these problems. What do you recommend I do?" I said, "Okay, then pack up, close up, shut up, and go someplace and fast and pray till you get an answer." "I can't do that." "What do you mean you can't do that?" "I'm too busy." "Well, duh." So a year later, he came back to me. He said, "Pastor, I'm still having all these problems. What do you think I should do?" I said, "I told you a year ago. Pack up, close up, go someplace, and pray till you hear. I'm too busy." You know what? He's probably still having all those problems. We need to learn to seek the Lord and call upon him and stay there until we get there. You know, I used to drive back and forth to Tulsa pretty regularly. Well, what would happen if I was on my way to Tulsa? I got to St. Louis, said, "Well, man, I've been driving long enough. I think I'll turn around and go home." It just wouldn't make much sense, would it? You know, I'm kind of tired of this. What would happen if I was on my way to Franklin? I was supposed to meet with you. Sunday morning, I'm supposed to preach. I got as far as Jackson Center. Said, whoa, man, this is just too long a trip today. I'm going home. Well, we do that to God. We start to pray. Well, Lord, you know, I'm really distressed with this thing. God starts to talk. We walk off. Bob, how'd you feel if I came to you and said, well, Bob, how do you like your new car? Oh, see ya. He'd look at me like, hey, I lost it. No, a conversation's a two-way thing, but we do that to God all the time. We go ask him questions. Before he can answer, we walk off.
Amen.
Seek the Lord. Find him and stay there till you get an answer. Pray till you pray. Pray until you pray. Amen? Verse 7, forsake wicked ways. Oh, Pastor, I'm not wicked. I'm going to read you a scripture here. I know it's here. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's written to believers. That's found in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Turn from our wicked ways. In other words, look into yourself. Find out what it is that you're doing that you shouldn't be doing. Find out what it is that God wants you to stop doing. Sometimes the Lord will point out things to you that you've done for years and years and years. Things you've said for years and years and years. That you didn't even realize that you even said. Maybe it's something your mother and father said. Maybe it's something your grandmother said. Maybe it's something that I said. Or some other pastor said. And you've been saying this thing. And all of a sudden, God says to you, you know, you shouldn't be saying that. Really? He's done that with me. I used to make a statement about patience. I used to tell people I wasn't a doctor. I didn't need any. And one day God told me, shut up. See, we have to learn to listen and forsake our wicked ways. And it doesn't mean that you're, you know, being an ass murderer or an adulterer. It means that you're just, you know, there are things that God wants to change in our lives. Why? To purify us, to cleanse us. We sang the song Refiner's Fire. You know, sometimes when you put something that's, Even pure, I don't have any on, but sterling silver, pure silver. Well, if you look at it, it's stamped 99.9%. Why? Because there's still some impurity in there. It's not perfect. There's no such thing as perfect silver. Well, there's no such thing as a perfect believer either. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You know, a little further down, John says, if you say you don't sin, you're a liar. I mean, he was pretty clear about that. down at verse 11 here in Isaiah chapter 55. The fan keeps changing my page for me, but Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please, and shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. When you take faith and you mix it with the word, it'll work. What did Jesus say in Mark 11, 23 and 24? He said, anything that you say, if you believe in your heart and you don't doubt, but you believe what you say. In other words, you have faith in what you're saying. And you don't have any doubt in your mind or in your heart, but you believe it, you'll have whatever you say. Now that's what Jesus said in Mark 11, 23 and 24. Well, that's what God's saying here. He's saying, I believe my word is true. Whatever I say is going to happen. It's not gonna change. Well, see, if you take this word that God spoke and you believe it and you speak it, it will work. It will not return void. It will work for you when you mix it with your faith. In other words, when you have sickness, whether it's in your body or someone else's, and you look at the word, and the word says that by his stripes we were healed. Okay, were is a past tense word. That means we've already been healed. So you mix that word with faith. I believe that the word says that we were already healed. So what's that sickness doing in my body or your body? That sickness doesn't belong in our body because we were already healed. So get out in Jesus' name. See, that's how faith works. And it will not return void, but will accomplish that purpose for which it was sent. What's the purpose he sent the word for? To edify us and build us up. I mean, God could have kept silent. He could have kept silent. But he sent us the word so that we had something to rely on. You know, I've used this term before, and I've seen it many times, that this is our owner's manual. And that's what God provided for us. He provided this word. He provided written down instructions for how we should live. In the Old Testament, he showed us how in the natural, you know, he showed us a natural way of how things work. In the New Testament, it's all spiritual. Okay? Because you couldn't do it in the flesh. Verse 12, here in Isaiah 55. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees shall clap their hands. If you seek the Lord and call upon him, forsake your wicked ways, mix faith with the word, and it works, then you'll have joy and peace. That's when joy and peace overtake you, overwhelm you, and completely flood you. That's where joy and peace come from, is when you begin to live in the word and the word begins to live in you and the word works in your life. God will always perform his word. He will always perform his word. He will never allow his word to go unperformed. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 12. Then the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word." I am ready to perform my word. This is where King James says he will hasten to perform his word. He will hasten to perform his word. In other words, he'll run to perform his word. He told Jeremiah, "I am ready to perform my word." I'm always ready. He's always ready. God watches over his word, and he's always ready to perform it. He doesn't miss an opportunity to perform his word. You know, Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 talks about something, and I want to bring this out today. It says, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good?" God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Has he said, will he not do? You know, here's the thing about God. When God said, back in the very beginning, before there was anything other than heaven, I assume there was heaven. You know, and I can only assume at this point. But he said, "Let there be an earth," and there was. Because whatever God says is going to happen. Because he's a faith God. All right? So anything he says is going to happen. That's why he can't lie. No matter what he says, it's going to happen. He can't lie because anything he says is going to happen. He said, "Let there be an earth." Bang! There was an earth. He said, "Let there be light." There's light. He said, "Let the firmament separate the waters." And up came the dirt. The only thing he didn't speak into existence was a man. He came down and formed us. Everything else, he spoke. No matter what God says, it's going to happen. He cannot lie. If God said, "I'm tired of this, and I'm going to wipe out mankind," that'd be the end of us, like that. Boom. And so we as believers need to understand that, because he spoke this into being. That's why it works. He can't lie. In Hebrews chapter 8, says the word is in your heart. And should be in your mouth. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 through 10. But now he has obtained a much he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, and with the house, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." That is not the right scripture that I was looking for. That's what I have in my notes, but it's not the right scripture. The scripture I'm looking for says that the word would be in your heart and in your mouth. Will be in your heart and in your mouth. Somehow I mistyped it in my notes. But the word is in your heart and in your mouth. And see, and in order to have the word in your heart, first thing you have to do is be in the word. The first thing you have to do is allow the word to get into you. And if you don't allow the word to get into you, then you walk around wondering what's going to happen next. And there's so many people in this world that are wandering around aimlessly wondering what is going to happen next. They don't have a clue as to what's going to take place in their life. They don't have a clue as to what in this world is going to take place. They listen to the news programs. They listen to the commentators. They listen maybe to their pastors. They listen to teachers. They listen to radio. They listen to television. And they don't have a clue because they don't have the word. And it's the word that is truth. Jesus said, "My words, they are spirit and they are truth." And they don't have the truth. What they have is a mixture of opinions. And when you try to work with a mixture of opinions, you get mixed up. But when you put in the truth, it is the truth that will set you free. And if you're operating without the truth, you get so bound up that you don't know which way to turn or what's going to take place. You don't know what's going to happen next. And people operated so much fear because they don't know what's going to happen that they're literally scared to death. I set about a few years ago to eliminate fear in my life. And I found that the more I spend time in the Word, the less times that I find fear trying to attack me. Now, you know, I've made the statement that there's nothing that I'm afraid of. And more and more, that's becoming true. You know, it's just, fear is becoming so foreign to me that I feel it when it comes near. Why? Because I'm filling up on the Word. And, you know, people say, well, isn't there something you're afraid of? I can't think of anything. Well, aren't you afraid somebody might hurt you? No. Aren't you afraid of economic collapse? No. I've lived like that for a long time. You know, I mean, come on. You know, you live in God's blessings, regardless of what the economy, it goes up, it goes down, who cares? You just live in God's blessings. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. I don't, you know, the government, they have their ups and downs. God doesn't. If you read Deuteronomy 28, it says if I'm obedient to Him, He's going to bless me. He doesn't really care what the government does. He doesn't care if all the banks fail. Well, how are you going to pay your bills? Well, that's up to God. And so we go forward in faith. Because fear is simply having faith in what the devil says. Fear is simply having faith in what the devil says. And I have no faith in him whatsoever. Amen? Go over to Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the goodness of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil of his heart. See, it's what's in your heart that's going to come out. Now, if your heart's full, in other words, the Spirit, if your spirit's full of the Word, if the Word's alive in you, what's going to happen when you open your mouth? The Word's going to come out. It's going to be the Word. It may not come out in King James. In fact, most of us don't speak that way most of the time. You know, I don't call most of you on the phone and go, "How art thou?" Thou would thinkest I have lost my mind. But what happens? we begin to think along the lines of God. We begin to think like He thinks. We begin to talk like He talks. See, we're created in His image. We're supposed to act like Him. You know, you ask a congregation, who wants to be like Jesus? And everybody goes, I do. Okay, go out and be like Jesus. How's that? What am I supposed to do? Put on a white robe and walk around town in sandals? No. He showed us for 3 years how God acts. But now, Acts chapter 4, I think it is. I'm not sure about this. But now we see Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Now we see Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Okay? That's how you act like Jesus. Go about doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Setting people free. That means sometimes just sitting down and talking to people and helping them get through a problem. That doesn't mean you always, you know, walking around, can I lay hands on you? Can I cast a demon out of you? Sometimes it's just sitting down with somebody and helping them work their way through a problem. And use the word to do it. Amen? You need to be a promise hunter. And to be promise hungry. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 19 and 20. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen. In other words, so be it. To the glory of God through us. All the promises of God in Jesus are yes. Yes, I'll do it. Yes, so be it. Yes, that's the way it's going to be. Yes. There's no yes and no. There's yes. In him is yes. Yes, I will see that it is taken care of. Yes, I'll heal you. Yes, I'll set you free. Yes, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. That is what the promises of God are in him. Yes. There's no no in God. I've heard, I don't know how many times I've heard somebody trying to salve somebody's conscience or their own when they, you know, when you pray, sometimes God answers no. No, sometimes you just didn't spend long enough time there to get the answer. Well, what if he doesn't want you to have the thing you were praying for? Then he'll tell you what it is he wants you to have. But he doesn't just sit up there and say, no. Like we think. He you know, if he doesn't want you to have this, he'll say, but you can have that. Or, you know, you're not ready for this, but I think we can do this. That's the kind of God we serve. We don't serve a God that sits up there like some kind of tyrant. No! What's the matter with you? But you hear people say that all the time. Sometimes God says no. They're just trying to get out of praying, that's all. We need to be promise-focused. Promise-focused. Not problem-focused. We get focused on the problem. Oh, it's so bad. Oh, it's so bad. No, it's so good. It's so good because I got the answer. Well, what's the answer? I'll find it. It's in here. Are you sure? I'm sure. I got the owner's manual. It's not like the owner's manual you get with a car anymore that says take it to the shop. This one says take it to God. He'll fix it. And he doesn't charge an arm and a leg. In fact, he pays you. Amen?
Amen.
We need to learn to speak the word, not our circumstances. We have a good time telling our circumstances to everybody. Oh, you wouldn't believe how bad this hurts. It just hurts so bad. I wish somebody would pray for me. It hurts so bad. Oh, it hurts. It hurts. It hurts. We want everybody to feel bad for us because it hurts. So pray for me. Please pray for me because it hurts. I think I'm going to need some prayer because it's hurting pretty bad. Did everybody hear that? It hurts. Pray for me. Maybe I should call some people and tell them it hurts. We do that all the time. Or we come in limping. What's wrong? Oh, I don't want to say anything. Don't want to say anything negative about how bad it hurts. Just pray for me. We need to be focused on the promises, not the problems. We need to be speaking the word. By his stripes I'm healed. Now don't be a liar. You know, you come in here and you're sniffling and snorting, your eyes are running, your nose is running, you're hacking and coughing and sneezing. What's the problem?
Nothing.
You just lied. No, but what you can say is by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. That's not a lie. You quote the word. You don't lie, you quote the word. That's not a lie, that's the truth. You quote the word. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 1. This will be the third time I'm coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. Every word will be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. God said it. Paul or somebody wrote it down. I speak it. That's three. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing will be established. Now you agree with me, that's four. You see, God set us up so that it works to establish his word. It works. It works, folks. We start mixing the word together with faith, and I'm telling you, you will find things changing your life so fast you won't even recognize yourself. You start mixing the word and faith. You know, We need to get to the point where we believe the Word more than we believe anything else. People ask the question, well, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so said this or said that. We need to look at what they said. Is it the Word? If it's not the Word, if it doesn't line up with the Word, then throw it out the window. It's not worth listening to. If it's some twist of the Word, don't listen to it. Don't pay attention to it. Is it the Word? If it's not the Word, don't pay attention. Well, don't you think other people have important things to say? They're not as important as the Word. And I don't care who's preaching it. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. Oh, brother so-and-so got a new revelation. If it's not the Word, it doesn't work. God reveals His Word to our hearts. I've had tremendous revelation of the Word, and it's been the Word coming alive in me. It's not some new thing, oh, God's going to do something different than He said in His Word. No, it's been the Word itself coming alive in me as I study it and teach it. It's not some new thing that He's going to do in addition to His Word. It's been the Word itself. And that's what you'll begin to experience in your life as you put the Word in and speak the Word out. Hebrews chapter 4, starting with verse 1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As He have said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. If you don't mix the Word with faith, you don't enter into rest because it doesn't work. It takes mixing the Word with faith. Why? Because you have to believe the Word. You have to. It's that simple. You have to believe the Word. And if you don't believe the Word, it won't work. If I come to you and I say, here, I'm going to hand you a dollar bill, and you don't believe me and you don't take it, it doesn't become yours. It won't work for you. If God says, I'm going to heal you, and you don't believe Him and you don't take it, it won't work for you. You have to mix the Word with faith in order for it to work. But once you mix it with faith, it works. And you enter into rest. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank You for the Word. And I thank You, Lord God, that You do hurry and hasten and run to perform Your Word. Lord, I pray now in Jesus' name for that supernatural revelation into this Word today. I pray in the name of Jesus that You bring it to life in our hearts, that it might accomplish that purpose for which it was sent. and not return void. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you, Father God, that you've given us the word to live by. Lord, I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.